Good morning. My name is Desi Payne, and I am so excited to be with you on this first day of June. And can you believe it is June already? And I don't know about where you're at, but it is a beautiful sunny day here in Ottumwa, Iowa. Well, I was so honored and thrilled when Becky asked me to fill in for her today. She has been such an inspiration to me in her weekly Bible study and prayer calls and as a 90-day roadmap to success leader with the John Maxwell team. And again, I'm honored to be taking her spot today. Before we begin with today's teaching, I want to open up with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today with a grateful heart and an open heart to hear from you today. We pray for Becky right now that you'll just bless her morning and all that she puts her hand to do. We pray that you will give her strength and energy, and we pray specifically over this week that you would make her the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And we pray that favor would surround her like a shield, and that this week she would have an extraordinary week of success in her business. And I pray for all the everyone listening right now that you'll just bless them and that they'll be encouraged today. And I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to minister your words, and I pray you would be glorified. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I want to start out by telling you a story of something that just happened a few days ago. I had walked into my 17-year-old daughter's room and immediately plugged my nose. The smell in her room was so bad. In fact, it reminded me of something that died and came back to life and died again. It was like a zombie smell. So I asked my daughter, Erin, what smells so badly in your room? She looked around the room and from where she was sitting, and she says, well, I think it's my shoes. Well, later, I found her shoes in her brother's room, and fortunately, he's at college right now. As for bad odors, have you ever opened up your refrigerator and been slapped in the face with a smell so bad because you found something on the back shelf that had been there for weeks and now it was green, black, and fuzzy? Or maybe you opened up your pantry to find one rotten potato buried in with the other good potatoes. Now that's a really bad stench. Or even worse, you discover the stinky diaper that never got taken outside to the garbage can. Well, I remember those days for sure. Today, I want to talk to you about something that really, really stinks, though, and that is a stinking attitude. Now, I doubt this happened in your family, but I remember when I was a teenager, I'd hear my mother say to one of her four kids periodically, you better watch your attitude. And like I said, I doubt you heard that when you were growing up. I love to fly, and at airports, I'm a big people watcher. And it amazes me the jovial attitude people will have when they're all excited and ready to go on a trip, say like to Disneyland or Disney World. Then watch how their attitude changes on a drop of a dime if they find out that they have to wait 2 or more hours because their flight is delayed. People get stinking attitudes on their job if they see someone else getting promoted. People get stinking attitudes if they have to sit in traffic. People get stinking attitudes if they're treated unfairly. People get stinking attitudes if there's no money in the bank account. Or people get stinking attitudes toward other people. And believe it or not, people can even get a stinking attitude at church. And some people get stinking attitudes about life in general. Believe me, I don't know about you, but at Thanksgiving time when relatives come to our house, I get an earful of some stinking attitudes. Now, I work in a lot of different venues, and one of those venues is in lots of different schools. And every time I go to this one particular school, I can actually smell the principal walking down the hallway. And it's not her body odor. It's not her bad breath. It's her stinking attitude on life. And as soon as she sees me, she immediately shares her long, long list of everything negative she's dealing with in life, every bodily function that isn't working with her, and she tells me about every person she's not getting along with. And it is so draining when people do that to you. It's like a vampire bat that sucks the life and blood right out of you. So how does somebody get a stinking bad attitude? And most important, do you ever get a stinking attitude? First, let me tell you about a stinking attitude I had a few weeks ago. In the mornings, I just love and enjoy sitting on my couch, sipping some hot tea and reading my Bible, talking to the Lord, and looking out of our big, beautiful bay window at the beautiful trees. And there's an empty lot across the street, so it's usually pretty quiet and peaceful. But one day, while sipping my tea and quiet before the Lord, a huge semi-truck pulled into the lot across the street. Then it backed up into our landscaping by our driveway. And before I knew it, I was watching all this craziness going on in front of my house. A dump truck drove into the empty lot and dropped off a couple tons of gravel. Then a skid loader shows up, more big trucks, construction workers, jackhammers, and hundreds of these 25 feet or foot pipes. Then a few days later, a porta potty was delivered across the street directly in front of my house. That's right. Looking out my big bay window now is an outhouse. And then come to find out they're tearing up the whole street, putting in a new water line, and then construction starts across the street for new high-rent apartment buildings. Oh, the icing on the cake is when I found out that they're going to be doing this for a year and a half. Oh! So, for the next few weeks, when the usual jackhammering started up early in the morning, I would start to murmur and complain. Then one night, they worked until 10:30 at night, so I really whined and complained, and my attitude was starting to stink. Days later, in the middle of all my complaining, the Lord began to speak to my heart that all this whining and complaining wasn't going to benefit me at all or anyone around me. In reality, this bad stinking attitude that I had developed wasn't going to make the construction workers work any faster. It wasn't going to get rid of them or stop the construction project. So I had to make up my mind right then that every time I heard the loud, annoying jackhammers or when the traffic was congested or when I would look at the porta potty, that's when I needed to pray and worship God. You know, I looked at the word attitude in the dictionary. Well, actually, I Googled it. And it said that an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Let me say that again. An attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. So let's look at God's Word. And in Ephesians 4:23, it says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." If we look in the New International Version, it says, "To be new in the attitude of our mind." I believe stinking attitudes come from the way you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." If we look at Luke 6:45, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In the New International Version, it says, and I really like this, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." What you think about funnels down to your heart and your soul, and it spills out when you open your mouth. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life." You guard your heart by watching what you say and what you think about. The principle that I mentioned earlier has a stinking attitude on life because she thinks about all the negative things in her life 24/7, and she talks about them. And she needs to turn all those things over to God in prayer and then to worship Him. I don't know how it is at your church, but I have sat in the same seat or row, I know this is crazy, for almost every Sunday for the last 17 years. Plus, I think most of the people in the church have done the same thing. And if we arrive and someone else is sitting in our seat, oh my, we're like a fish out of water, and we think, where on earth are we going to sit today? So I got to thinking, why is it that most of us go to the same seat every single week? Well, it's because we are preset in our thinking as where we're going to sit every single week. So I call this a default setting. And on your computer, you have default settings. This means it's preset to go to certain screens, websites, or documents when you hit a certain button. And I think our human nature has a default setting to automatically have a bad stinking attitude when negative circumstances pop up on the screen of our life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. So I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And this is a story which involves two guys who would seem to be justified to have a stinking attitude. So in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, here we have Paul and Silas. And they are on the streets ministering God's word day after day. And they run into this fortune teller who heckles them endlessly. And after several days, Paul has finally had enough of it. And so he casts the demon right out of the woman. And then the woman is no longer influenced by the devil to tell the fortunes, and therefore she's out of a job and she has no money to give to her boss. And so now the boss is real upset, so he reports Paul and Silas to the authorities because they're interfering with his business and supposedly causing trouble in the city. And they're arrested. Well, you would have thought they committed a murder, something really, really bad, because they are treated so inhumanely after they're arrested. Their clothes are stripped off them. They are beaten up pretty badly, and they're dragged to the prison, thrown into the dungeon, and they're bound and shackled. Now, my brother, he works as a guard in a prison, and prisons are not the same as they were way back when. Today, you get a bed with a mattress, you get a blanket, you get a sink, you get a toilet, you get good food, plus you get activity time, and you get to watch TV. So this is crazy. This is for people who committed serious crimes, and I don't think the dungeon was a night at the Marriott for Paul and Silas. So let's, for a moment, pretend their default setting is set to a stinking attitude. And if that is true, I think their dialogue would have gone something like this. So, Paul, is this what working for the Lord is all about? I knew I should have gone camelback riding with the guys today. Ugh, I need to start applying for a new job. Oh, Paul, look how dirty it is in here, and it stinks to high heaven. And I am so hungry. Can you hear my stomach growling? And I pretty much doubt we're getting Domino's pizza delivered today. Oh, Paul, why did you drag us here? This is just awful. Who signed me up for prison ministry anyway? Was that you, Paul? I'm having a bad hair day, too. And then Paul says, Silas, would you quit your belly aching? It wasn't my fault there was a psychotic fortune teller following us the last 3 days. I had to cast the demon out of her as she was getting on my nerves, just like you are. Why did we ever come to this city? Silas, look at the other prisoners staring and listening to us. Hey, what are you looking at? Mind your own business. Now, did Paul and Silas have a stinking attitude? Certainly not. So let's look at God's Word and see what their default setting is. So we're going to start in verse 25, and it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.'" And then it goes on later to say that the magistrate court let them go free. Paul and Silas had their default setting to pray and worship God. I'm going to say that again. Paul and Silas had their default setting to pray and worship God. Pray and worship God when things weren't going so well. What is your default setting when things don't go well in your life? Do you immediately get a stinking attitude, or do you pray and worship God? When things don't go right, how should we think? In Philippians 4:8, this is what it says. This is how we should think. To think about those things which are good and true and perfect and lovely and just and of a good report. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, to think on those things. When things don't go the way you want them, or the negative circumstances pop up in your life, start making it a habit to immediately pray and worship God. Let that be your default setting. If someone does you wrong, pray and worship God. If your business doesn't seem to be prospering, pray and worship God. If you're sitting in traffic, pray and worship God. If you have a day where your face breaks out, you get a huge fever blister which takes over your lip, and you're having a bad hair day, pray and worship God. If you're at church serving in a nursery ministry and you wanted to be in the church service, pray and worship God. And if you practice doing that, then one day you'll find out it's a default setting in your life. What's even more awesome is that when you pray and worship God, God works things out for your good. And when Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped God, it caused the earth to shake. Look at the impact they had on the jailer. He accepted Christ into his life. And you know, Paul and Silas had an impact on all the other prisoners because it said that the other prisoners were listening. When you pray and worship God, you will impact the people around you and you won't smell bad. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:15 that we should be a sweet-smelling aroma or fragrance of Christ. You know, people pay attention to the life that you live. Your kids watch you, your coworkers watch you, your neighbors watch you, and they can smell you from a distance, whether it's a stinking attitude or a sweet fragrance of God in your life. So I leave you with this question and challenge. What is your default setting? And over the next week, I want you to pay close attention to your default setting. When troubles, problems, or negative situations in your life pop up, do you develop a stinking attitude, or do you pray and worship God? So I want you to think about it. What is your default setting? I want to close in prayer. But before I do, I just want to see if there's anybody else that has any more prayer request. So I'm going to unmute you right now. And is there anybody else that's on the line that has any prayer requests before we close in prayer? Anybody?
My name is Jean, and I have a friend named Terry that was just diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Okay. And her name was Tara?
Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry. You cut out there. Say that again.
Terry. C-E-R-R-Y. Terry.
T-A-R-R-Y?
C-E-R-R-Y. Terry.
Oh, Terry. I'm so sorry. I got it now.
Okay.
Terry. All right.
Okay, thank you.
And so we will definitely pray for her. Anybody else?
Becky.
Okay. Hi, Becky.
Hey. Yeah, this is Rebecca.
Yes, Rebecca.
Yeah, honey, my Uncle Ez, he had a stroke about 3 weeks ago. And
oh, okay.
Yes, and so we're just believing that the Lord will turn that around for him. So I would like for prayer for him. Thank you.
Okay, and how's he doing now?
He's progressing slowly. He's doing a little bit better.
Okay.
For that. And he is at a rehabilitation up center where they work with him throughout the whole day. But, yeah, he's doing better.
Good, good, good. Okay, we will definitely pray for him, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, let's close in prayer, and I'm going to pray for those needs. Dear Lord, right now, bless every single person listening to this call. And I pray right now that everyone listening on today's call will pay closer attention to their default setting. And I pray that when trouble comes, that they would immediately pray and worship you. And when life gets tough, they will immediately pray and worship you. When someone does them wrong, they would immediately pray and worship you. When anything negative comes up in their life, they will pray and worship you, and then they will see the amazing things that you are going to do in their life. And right now, we lift up Terry, and we pray over her life and this ovarian cancer that has plagued her. And we just pray right now, Father God, that you will heal her of this disease. We pray right now that this ovarian cancer would leave her life. We curse it in Jesus' name and pray that she will be a testimony to the people around her that this cancer will be gone and dried up in the name of Jesus. And we pray over Ed right now that this stroke that happened to him 3 weeks ago, that he will have an amazing, amazing healing in his life, that he will be a wonderful testimony to the people at the rehabilitation unit right now, that they will be amazed to see that, Father God, you have healed his body. We just pray for strength in his body, that any symptoms in his body that are left over from this stroke, that they will be gone and that you will heal him. And again, Father, I pray over all the listeners that you will bless them this day, give them a good day, a victorious day in you. In Jesus' name, amen.